Welcome to the bonus tutorial with my friend Kyla Prinz, a motivational speaker, workshop leader, wellness coach, dance teacher, burlesque dancer, and drag queen trapped in a woman's body. My dear friend Kyla Prinz is here to talk all about discovery and discovering who you are. Thank you for being here, Kyla.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Yay, I'm excited. So, you kind of defined this whole like discovery, not recovery concept. Do you want to just briefly talk about what that is, and then we'll go into the nuts and bolts of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I see recovery as two phases. Most people see it as one. Many people, in fact, see recovery as this ongoing struggle for the rest of your life that just feels awful. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly trying to not have an eating disorder or disordered eating because, as I'll explain, I believe recovery is for everyone, not just for people with eating disorders. But yeah. Essentially, what happens is we are presented with this idea that we'll always be struggling, we'll always be recovering, you know, we'll always be alcoholics, basically.
Right.
We're presented with this idea, and when you hear that, it feels pretty bad. And what I discovered, pun intended, I guess, or accidental wordplay, I don't know. What I discovered was that wasn't the case. Yes, I may always have the thoughts in my head and the, you know, potential for triggering and relapse and all that. I don't have to live my life like that. And it's because there's a second phase that nobody ever talks about. And so that's what I'm hoping to convey to you today. There is hope.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So can you talk to me a little bit about who recovery is for?
Yes. Okay. So when people hear the word recovery, usually they shut down, especially if they don't have a diagnosed eating disorder or don't think that they're sick enough. And I put sick enough in quotes. You know, it's for people who are really sick. This is for like 13-year-old girls who are 10 pounds and need to be hospitalized, right? Like that's what recovery is for. Well, that's not true. You know, most of us don't have eating disorders out in the world, but we've been struggling with dieting for most of our lives. We've been struggling with our weight. We've been struggling with our body image. And there are some people with disordered eating who have actually undiagnosed eating disorders who just don't think that they're sick. And in a lot of ways, many of us kind of like having this disorder. We like this feeling of specialness that it brings. I don't know how to better explain that, but there's almost like a privilege to being sick, to feeling the drama and the anger and the pain, and to be discussing it around the water cooler at work. You know, oh, I'm off the wagon this week. Oh, I hate my body this week. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, I can't even. Right, like all of this. It feels kind of good. I don't know how to better explain it, but I bet you if you're in it, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes. We talked about this. We talked about how dieting is like a drug and it's like really hard to kick. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, when we talk about recovery, it conjures this word of like treatment, right? Like you need to go to a hospital. You need to be isolated and intervened. And that's not the case. For some people, yes, that is part of recovery. That's the Kickstarter for it. But most of us are not going to be like forcibly detained inside a treatment center that we can't afford. So what is recovery actually? And all it is just learning how to live without disorder. Not necessarily an eating disorder writ large, like, you know, diagnosed by the doctor, but just living without disorder, without the dieting and the counting and the constantly striving and the needing to fix. Okay? This is a really, really important period. Recovery, that going through it, right? Going through this this period of learning how to get rid of disorder is really important. It's important for people with actual eating disorders, with the mental illness, so learning how to cope with the mental illness, etc., but also just for people who are giving up dieting. It's important for anybody who is having trouble managing their lives because they just feel out of control with either food or fitness or their weight and body image. Okay, recovery is for people who have finally reached rock bottom of trying to fix themselves. Okay, it's for people who are exhausted, who feel oppressed and depressed and are tired of it. Mm-hmm. These are for people, I believe recovery is for people who want answers and just want to stop having to work so hard to get them. And really, recovery, and in a way, what you're doing, Summer, is a recovery tool. It's important for people who feel like they can't stop their behaviors or compulsions on their own. Okay, so that could be eating disorders, but that could also just be disordered eating. This is for people who feel so out of control over exercise, binge eating, dieting, needing to purge, weighing themselves, comparing themselves, etc., that they literally just can't get out of their own way. This is for people who feel lost and scared and angry, and they feel, even if they're not necessarily ready for change, because I feel like ready is kind of a loaded word.
Yeah, you never feel ready.
at least they feel ready to accept that something has to change.
That they're done with it. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's who recovery is for. So all of you listening.
Yeah. And I think like you mentioned a lot of like dieting behaviors, and but it, also, you know, you did highlight like if you can't stop comparing yourself to other women, or if you, every time you look in the mirror, it's like you're so critical, and it's just all the thoughts that occupy your mind are negative thoughts about your body. Like I feel like it's the same type of thing that recovery is for that person as well. I mean, it can span across so many different things.
Absolutely, and the thing is, you know, if you're in need of recovery, it's just so that you can get rid of those behaviors. That's that's it. It's to get rid of those behaviors. So if that's important for you, even if you're not sure you're ready, then recovery is for you.
Yeah. So how do you do recovery?
Yes. Okay. So I want to emphasize that this period, as much as I dislike it as a like a lifelong tool, I think that this period is so important and you absolutely cannot skip it. Okay. It's 100% non-negotiable. If you have an eating disorder, like an actual eating disorder, whether that is anorexia, bulimia, binge eating disorder, EDNOS, OSFED, whatever you want to call it, okay, your health and life are literally at stake when you have an eating disorder. But in a way, I could kind of make the same argument if you have disordered eating and exercise, because even if you're not at risk of major injury or death, right, you're still losing your life to this disorder. Mm-hmm. So here's how you do it, okay? Recovery entails shifting your focus from weight loss and erasing your body to just body neutrality. You don't even have to love your body. Just to get to neutrality, to the place where your behaviors don't have to happen anymore, okay? And to shift from body control to intuition. So just trying to erase the behaviors, the dieting, the exercise, the comparing, etc., the weighing, getting rid of all of that, and just moving toward a place of neutrality and intuition. So this is the period, right, where you learn how to eat without a meal plan, okay? This is where you learn how to stop counting calories, or in some cases, you have to start counting calories to learn to make sure that you're eating enough, but I would recommend no longer than a period of 2 weeks. You kind of learn how to get maybe strong, not skinny, right? So you learn how to start actually putting your bulk back into the world to take up some space. Maybe you'll start during this period learning a little bit more about nutrition instead of being afraid of it. Maybe you'll learn how to like pack a snack so that you don't end up in a situation where you're starving or binging, right? Maybe you'll learn how to meal prep so you can eat the food, etc. So this is a period where you work on your mental health. It's a period where maybe you'll start like writing love letters to your body, or you'll join Facebook groups like Summer's to talk about your insecurities and all of your victories. Okay, so in recovery, though, I want to make it clear the focus kind of remains on your body. This is the focus about shifting the conversation from body hate to body neutrality or body positivity, and from fear of food to kind of just an excitement about eating normally. Right, you may have even experienced this already, where you've been so happy to share, like, I ate a cupcake and it wasn't a problem, or I didn't eat a cupcake and it wasn't a problem, right? Like those are victories in recovery, and that's not to like say like, oh, that's not a victory anywhere else. It is a victory, and you're allowed to celebrate it, but that's what happens during this period. Okay, recovery is some of the hardest work that you will ever do, especially if you have an eating disorder or body dysmorphia, because you are coping with the mental illness part of things. But either way, you know, you're going through this process of gaining weight or coming to terms with your weight. You're going to be facing the demons that have defined your life for a really long amount of time, and in some cases, years. Okay, so this also means a long period of unlearning and mourning. So be prepared. This isn't fun. But just because it's not fun doesn't mean that it's not worth it. You know, giving up the identity of being sick, as we discussed, or the identity that of being thin or healthy or whatever, it's hard. It's sad. It's a shedding of a piece of who you are, and it is the loss of a really big investment of sometimes time, relationships, and money, because you may have poured a ton of money into your weight loss or weight control. Mm-hmm. The thing is that a lot of people get stuck right here. Okay, they get caught in this recovery period where they are in mourning, and they're trapped in the drama of recovering. They're trapped in the pain and the fear and kind of that dopamine rush of like, I didn't eat a cupcake, or I ate a cupcake, and then the endorphins of sliding back. I ate the cupcake. I didn't eat the cupcake. Whatever. So in a lot of cases, people get caught in what I call recovered enough. And it's this acceptable place to stay caught, because I think that's actually the baseline of like the majority of our culture's conversation about weight loss and weight control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, talk to me a bit more about what recovered enough is, because
yes.
Then I have, yeah, I was going to ask you something else, but yeah, tell me that first.
Yeah. Okay. So, recovered enough is the phase between recovery and what comes next. Okay, so it's the place where you're no longer actively engaged in, like, dieting behaviors per se, but you're still passively engaged. So you're still holding on to, like, these really damaging beliefs that are keeping you from fully investing in being recovered. Recovered Enough does not believe in health at every size. Recovered Enough believes that once you get to a certain weight, you are healthy. So, for example, you may think like, oh, okay, well, health at every size might be okay for other people right now, but really ancestral leanness is what I'm trying to do. So you may become like a nutritionist or a health coach or a personal trainer who has to look a certain way in order to set a certain example. So it's kind of like an excuse to stay stuck, right? Like, it's like, oh, well, I'm a paleo person now, and everyone follows my Instagram, so I have to make sure that they see that I'm eating a certain way and that I'm gaining muscle and getting strong, not skinny, right? That's recovered enough. And it is often good enough for a lot of people. Like, recovered enough is a place where a lot of people just, they're like, I'm happy to stay here. So they're still freaked out about their weight. They're still like counting everything, or trying to like get obsessive about their nutrition as opposed to just not getting nutrition at all. You know, they feel like body fat is okay, quote unquote, but it's not really okay, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people get like stuck in biohacking and like trying to get to optimal leanness. And in a lot of cases, the fear in recovered enough becomes not about fat per se, but about health, quote unquote. And this is the period where people start to develop orthorexia, or become, or, you know, greater in their orthorexia. Orthorexia being an obsession with being clean, pure, and healthy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there's nothing wrong, I do want to make this clear, there's nothing wrong with being healthy. Like, eat all the kale you want, like, have your green smoothie, do your thing. But when it starts to kind of, like, impinge on your friendships or your relationships or your ability to concentrate at work or your budget, it might be time to reconsider. Like, it's like when you feel guilty for eating sugar, or you have designated cheat or treat days, or you feel like your purpose is to make the world eat healthy so that you can single-handedly cure the world obesity crisis by posting nutrition articles on Facebook. That's when things might be like a little bit off the rails and you are stuck in recovered enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like there's still, like you mentioned fear of fat, but I feel like there is a lot of fat phobia that's kicking around under the surface there.
Oh yes. I mean, it's kind of like sanctified fat phobia because now you're quote unquote healthy about it. Mm-hmm. So like when you're, cause like if you're say an anorexic, right, you're fat phobic to the point where you're trying to erase your body, and culture sees that as eat a cheeseburger or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. But when you are quote unquote being healthy in the name of not you know, becoming obese or staying obese or whatever, like in the context of what our culture tells us, well, that's okay. That fat phobia is fantastic. Go for it. You just be healthy all day long, right? And that's where we get stuck because, in a way, we're just doing what the cultural script is telling us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's where, like, you know, body image issues are still, like,
yeah,
they're all under the surface there, you know?
100%. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so, like, I don't even know if you could get through the recovered enough phase mm-hmm. if you're not doing the body image work.
That's exactly it. You got to do, like, this is the period where it is critical, where understanding health at every size and living it and, like, embracing it, like, if you cannot do that during this period, you will be stuck here. Mm-hmm. That's just it. And the thing is, recovered enough is better than not recovered, but it's not full recovery. And the thing about that, the scary thing about that, is that you risk any trigger causing a relapse when you're in this state. Because as long as you're focused so intently on your plate and your abs, you're body focused and not life focused, which means that you're not fully developing your coping skills in order to keep you from relapse or a complete meltdown.
Yeah, so what's next then?
Okay, so this is the most fun and sometimes the hardest part, and that is what I call discovery. So you do the body image work. This is like, it's kind of like in conjunction. Right? You do the body image work, you embrace health at every size, and you start actually getting to a place where you can stop focusing on your body. But the problem with recovery is that it's all about getting rid of, right? It's all about building this giant hole in your life where you strip away this identity of pain and bad feelings and coping behaviors and, you know, even all your nutrition stuff and all of your exercise stuff and all the things you believe about body. You strip it away and you build this hole. And now you're standing on the edge of a giant abyss. And now what?
Yeah.
Well, for most people, you look down into that abyss and you're like, nope. Right? Like, you're just, no, I'm not going to stand on the edge of this abyss. So you go running back to safety, which is what you know is the only stuff that you have. And you start filling that hole back in with your old behaviors. Discovery is about filling that hole with something else. Okay. It is about building a brand new identity with things that maybe you've never even thought of. Maybe new friendships, new relationships, new interests. And you build that hole bit by bit. And sometimes it takes time. So you're staring into the abyss for a little while. But as you do that, it becomes safe to start walking forward. It becomes safe to move away from all of those old illnesses and old hurts and old pains and old fears. And so this is the period that you get to build your identity and figure out who you have the potential to be.
Yeah. So talk to me more about that. Is there like a formula or how do people do that? how do you do discovery?
Yeah. So that's the thing. So the problem with discovery is that unlike like a fitness plan where I can just sell you like a 90-day thing and you do this and you're good, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, here's your 21-day detox and you follow it and then you're supposed to lose X pounds in Y days, right? Like that's easy to sell you. That's easy to tell you how to do. You just get the blueprint and you follow it. Now, the problem with discovery, and I say problem in quotes, is that it's about you. So I can't write it for you and nobody can write it for you. Only you get to write it for you. Mm-hmm. You know, because as you're building a new identity, that's an art, not a science, right? And every single person on earth isn't going to like the same things. However, that said, I find that there are a couple of underlying principles that can guide you as you go on your own journey. So, okay, I wrote them down, so I actually have them, like, formalized here. But, so, the first guideline that I see for discovery is get rid of the triggers, okay? This is the last bit of recovery that's going to help you prep for discovery. So, you have to do this one first. So, this one means deleting your health apps, leaving the gym that makes you feel like you have to compete even though you're injured, unsubscribing from the magazines, not doing another figure competition, stop following the Pinterest boards or the Instagram accounts, etc. So this is like the really agonizing part where you're like ripping away those last little bits.
Mm-hmm. I feel like most of the women here have definitely done that. Hopefully, they should have at least.
Yes, and you know, and it's okay. You know, you have to give it some time because this is the period where, you know, you may lose friends when you stop going to that gym, mm-hmm. right? You feel you've got that FOMO, fear of missing out, like hardcore. You feel like you might be getting unhealthy. I know this is something that keeps people from, you know, from investing fully in their recovery and discovery is like, oh my God, but I'm going to be unhealthy if I don't read this article. No, it's okay. You won't. Give it time. Eventually, you're going to find out that you don't miss these things. It might take a little while, but you will not miss them. You just need to start moving into the next principle. So the next principle is get uncomfortable, but not unsafe. Okay. So the difference between uncomfortable and unsafe is kind of hard to define. It's kind of like pornography, right? You know it when you see it. But so, for example, if dating is unsafe for you, in that maybe you haven't worked through your triggers around sex, you know, start small. You go on a speed date and you just get used to talking to people for a short amount of time without any obligation to go home with them. That's uncomfortable. That's sometimes very uncomfortable. But it's not going to lead to like a relapse. Or, you know, if giving up weighing your food at every meal is unsafe because you feel like it's going to lead to a binge or you won't eat enough, then, you know, you just don't weigh one meal. Right. And then you go and you continue doing all your other behaviors and until you get to that place where you've proven to yourself that you're not unsafe if you don't weigh this one meal and then you move on to the next one. So you do that with your identity. You know, if there's a thing you want to try, maybe driving an hour to a different city to go do this to, you know, do an activity is maybe unsafe for you because it's putting you, you know, at risk of like, well, what if I don't have food or what if I don't like the people or what if I'm too far from home and all these things are starting to cause anxiety? Well, that's a little unsafe. So find something local, start small, do it here, find a meetup group, and then work your way up to being able to go to that other event, right? Mm-hmm. Uncomfortable, but not unsafe. And then in terms of figuring out what exactly it is you want to do, that's principle number three, and that's go back and then move forward. So in a way, you kind of have to recover at the beginning who you were before you began your disorder, right? What were the things you liked as a kid? Like, if you were to ask your childhood self, what did you expect me to be doing when I was a grown-up? Well, maybe go re-explore some of those things or find it in new contexts. You know, like, for me, I always wanted to be a ballerina. I'm not a ballerina, and I gave up ballet. I gave up ballet when I was 5. Okay. I tried it again in college and that was a horrible disaster. And now I'm doing burlesque and pole dance, which is not ballerina, but I'm on stage and I'm dancing. So you might be able to kind of like go back and then come forward and find some like thread of something that you really loved and then put it into today's context. You know, or you may just look forward, period, and go, what else can I discover? What is out there? Go on meetup, like literally just go to meetup.com and like scroll through and see what people in your area are doing, even if it's not something you think you'd like to do. And that leads to the fourth principle, which is be okay with messing up. Okay. Disordered eating and exercise is all about control and perfectionism. Being optimally healthy is about never, ever, ever making a mistake with your nutrition and exercise. And that's suffocating. It really is suffocating. In discovery, you can't be perfect at it. Like, you're not going to go on stage and be a ballerina on day one. Like, you're just not. Sorry. You know, and you're also not going to go to a pole dance class and get it right the first time. So be prepared to mess up. Be prepared to try something that sucks. Like, you know, you went to that meetup event and it was a waste of your time. You had a bad time. You hated it. Cool. You just learned what you didn't like to do. You know, be prepared to not be good at some of the items that you try on your list. And be prepared to be a beginner. Be prepared to have to start over and not be the best one at the gym. It's okay. You're just learning how to be human again. And being human, believe it or not, is actually about making a mess.
Yeah, I love that. It's like my friend Carrie Ann says, dare to suck.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So how do we know if somebody's ready for discovery? Or how does somebody know if they're ready?
Yeah. So this is a really tough question, because I find that many of my readers and listeners get really excited to jump into discovery when they're still clinging pretty hard to not recovered, or to recovered enough. And I think that it's important to start working on your discovery before you finish recovering so that you're not like staring into the abyss and going, now what? You've already started filling in that hole. But I think that it's really easy to trick yourself into thinking that you're recovering simply because you're not, you're just like listening to more comedy podcasts or whatever. So how do you know you're ready for discovery? First of all, you have to be on board with health at every size. Like, you have to let go of your internalized fat phobia. You have to give up your behaviors, all of them. Okay. And complete step one, getting rid of those triggers before you're ever going to be able to get uncomfortable in an unsafe way. Like, that's just it. You are always going to be unsafe as long as you're holding on to these damaging beliefs about food, fitness, and your body and what it means if you accidentally, quote unquote, accidentally eat the cupcake, right? So you know that you're officially ready when you're like, you're listening to your health podcasts and you're going, I cannot. Like, you're ready to scream at the monotony of the information you're getting.
That's you know, a good way of putting it.
Like, that was, I can tell you, I remember I was walking my dog and I was listening to a low-carb podcast, which shall remain nameless. And I just literally was like, I can't listen to one more episode of this. And I deleted it, like, right there. I was like, I can't. Yeah. I've heard this 800 times. And if one more person tells me this thing that I already know and believe, I am going to scream. Like, that was when I knew I was ready, you know? you know you're ready when you actually want to go to a restaurant with your friends or partners and you desperately want to focus on the conversation and not the calories, even if you don't know how to do that yet. But when you're literally like, I just want to go to the damn restaurant without looking at the menu, you know? You know you're ready when you don't want to look at another person and instantly compare your body to theirs and then A, start feeling smug about your thinness or strength, or B, start beating yourself up because you're afraid to look like them. Like, that's literally, like, as soon as you are like, I can't go another day staring at people's arms. I want to look at them in the eye and see them as a person. And you know that you're ready when you're just like exhausted by this constant cleansing and clean eating and the hashtagging and the competing and the striving and the trying to prove you're healthy. When you feel secure in that exhaustion, when you start to feel secure in it, when that exhaustion begins to define how you want to not feel for the rest of your life, then you can start discovery, because that's when getting rid of those triggers is going to be good for you. Right? Because suddenly it's like, I don't want them anymore. Even if you know you still feel it it's part of your identity at that point. If you're at least ready to say, this isn't it, that's when discovery starts for real. Because that's when you can genuinely begin filling in that hole, because you're there. You're like, I'm looking at the abyss and it sucks. It sucks. I don't want this anymore. And even if I don't know what I want, I'm ready to start looking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at that point, the world opens up and your options are endless.
Yeah. And I think like the underlying thing with discovery so much is like the word discovery holds a lot of curiosity to it. And I think that, you know, if you can hold that frame of mind and just have fun with it, and it doesn't have to be like a big thing. And it's like, you just have to play around with stuff to find what you like.
Oh yeah. It's great. And it's really fun because, you know, as you get more used to messing up and doing things that maybe you wouldn't like, you end up finding out how to have fun. I can give you a great example even this past week, and I've been doing this discovery stuff for, you know, a long time now. My boyfriend decided to buy us tickets to a monster truck show. Now, in what universe, if anybody who knows me, in what universe would I go to a monster truck show? And while I may not do another one, we're definitely now on the lookout for a demolition derby, because we had a blast. It was like 3 hours of cars falling apart in midair and just like people who I, you know, never would have like sat around in a stadium before, just like yelling as cars named Cletus exploded. Like, it was great.
Cletus.
And so, you know, I mean, it's okay if you have a terrible time too going to the monster truck show, but at least you went, you know? It's fun, and you never ever ever know, because you could end up having the time of your life
You could have become a monster truck woman. I don't even know what that would entail, but
I may have bought my boyfriend a couple of Hot Wheels monster trucks after this, you know, to Amazing. Thank him for the experience. So
that's awesome. So yeah. fun. So do you have a like a challenge for the women or something like an action that they can take?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's the deal. Your job after listening to this and deciding that, you know, you've had enough of recovery and you're ready to start discovery, even if you're still in the process of recovery, is just make a list of all the things that childhood you would have loved to have seen you doing today. Just make that list. Okay. You don't even have to do the things yet. Just, I'm asking you to just make the list and then make a bucket list of all the things that adult you or, you know, you who you are right now would love to try, but never would have considered because of reasons, right? Just make those two lists. And I just want you to sit with those lists. And if you get to a point where you are done feeling sick and tired of being sick and tired, all that, you know, when you are done, just pick one thing and just find a meetup group, go, you know, find a class, go exploring, take a friend, be uncomfortable, but not unsafe. But pick just one thing on those lists and do it. And prove to yourself that you can.
Awesome. So good. I love it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am so excited. I think discovery is the most fun part. And it gives you something to look forward to. So.
Yeah, totally. I know, right? It doesn't have to be all like sad and like, mm-hmm. like you said, the void. It can be like, it's like a new beginning, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here. Do you have any other final words for the women?
You can do this. You really can. I swear to you. I know that people say that recovery is hard and it's awful and relapses and triggers. And you know what? It doesn't have to be that hard. There's going to be some days that suck in there. But it turns out that that's the real world too. And in a lot of ways, that's a good thing to know, because once you get to a place where you've accepted that sometimes you will have a bad day, bad days don't seem to like mean the world.
Yeah.
It's just another day and tomorrow can be better.
So true. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Rock on.